Today, Shir's Masechta Menachos on Daf Samach Tes. We will begin at the last word on the second line on top of the Amud with the words, Boy Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama in this sugi is asking a total of four questions. One question has already been done on the last Daf. And now we begin the second question of Rami Bar Chama. Boy Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Halechem, Hanatsa, the Shita says the next word is Sharyon. Hanatsa Sharyon, Oy Chanata, and again the Shita in Oy Space says the word here is Sharyon. The halacha is that Bikurim can only be brought from the new fruits only if it grew, if the fruit grew before the Shtei Halechem is brought on Shavuos. The question of our Gemara is, at what stage of growth does the fruit have to grow in order to become mutter through the Shtei Halechem? Is it the Hanatsa that the Shtei Halechem permits, or is the Shtei Halechem permitting the Hanata? Hanatsa and Hanata are two stages of the growth of the fruit. Hanatsa is the earlier stage, and Hanata is the later stage. Hanatsa is when the fruit is still connected to a flower, and at that point, the fruit is not clearly discernible on its own right. Chanata, the flower, has fallen off, and the fruit is clearly distinguished. It's separated from the rest of the branch and the leaves there and the buds, and it is a clear fruit which can be discerned. So what stage does the fruit have to be in order for the Shtei Halechem to permit it to be brought for Bikurim? Hanatsa or Chanata? So the Gemara wants to know, what item are you speaking about concerning Hanatsa and Chanata? My Hanatsa, my Chanata. Ilei ma Hanatsa de Peira, v'Chanata de Peira. If you're speaking about a question of the Hanatsa or the Chanata of the actual fruit itself, that L'chayra should not be any Shaila. What was Rami Bar Chama's Shaila? Why? Because Hashta Hashrasha Sharya, we find the halacha that if, in the case of wheat, for example, if the kernels take root, even if no wheat has yet grown, the halacha is, we will find in the next Mishnah, Daf Ayin Amid Aleph at the bottom, the Mishnah states, at the end of the Mishnah, Ha'imer, Im Hishrisha Kaidim La'imer, Ha'imer Matirin. It begins with the words Im. Im Hishrisha Kaidim La'imer, Ha'imer Matirin, Ve'im Lav, Asur and Achaba, Ha'imer Abba. The halacha is that if the kernels took root before the Aimer, then the Aimer permits it. If the kernels did not take root until after the Aimer does not permit it. But when the Omer permits the kernels that took root, even if no wheat has grown yet. So if the Omer can permit that, and the Shita Mekabetzes in Ois Gimel tells us, Ushtei halechem shori bashrasha dumya de Omer, says the Taisvus Chatzainius. The Shita quotes the Taisvus Chatzainius that say that Omer is clear in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin, and Shtei halechem we compare to Omer. Just like Oimer Hashrasha is enough for the Oimer to be Mater, so too by Shtei Halechem, the Hashrasha itself would be enough for the Shtei Halechem to be Mater. It's not necessary to have any fruit. You don't even need Hanatsa. Certainly not Hanata. So what's your question? Hashda Hashrasha Sharya Hanatsa v'Chanata Miboya? Certainly. Ella Hanatsa da'ola v'Chanata da'ola. It must be speaking about that the question of Rami Bar Chama was where there was no fruit yet whatsoever. And now the question of Hanatsa and Hanata is going on the leaf that comes with the fruit. Is it enough to have the Hanatsa of the Allah, of that leaf? In other words, at that point of Hanatsa, the leaf is not clearly discernible as a separate entity from the bud, or do you have to come on to a further amount of development, which would be Chanata, where it's clearly discernible the leaf from the initial bud? but there's no fruit whatsoever. And as Rashi puts it, in Divrei Maskal Ela Hanatz Chanata Da'ala, Mi Havi Hanatz Da'ala Bepeiris Ha'ilan Ke Hashrasha D'Tvua Oloi. We learned on Daf Ayin that Hashrasha by Tvua is enough for the Omer to be Matur. And Hu Adin D'Shtei Alechem, what about the fruit of Bikurim? If there's no fruit yet on the tree, but I have the Hanatza or have the Chanata of the Ola, is that enough to be Matur? Is, do you need Hanata? Is Hanatza enough? That's the question. Does it have the same halacha as wheat before the wheat grew when the kernels were nishrish in the ground or not? That's the question. Mi havi kash rasha oloi. And on this second question of Rabbi Rechama, the Gemara says, Teiku, we don't have a clear answer. And now, before we get to the third and fourth questions of Rami Bar Chama, we digress to a similar question as the second question of Rami Bar Chama, which was posed by Rava Bar Rav Chanan. Boy, Rava Bar Rav Chanan, and actually, Rava Bar Rav Chanan is now going to ask a series of three questions, and all of these three questions are related to one Shiloh. There no, it's, it pertains to different halachas of the Torah. The question is, if you have kernels which have not yet taken root, do those kernels, the Gabi various halachas of the Torah, have a din of metaltalin, or do they have a din, not of metaltalin, movable objects, but they have a din of karka, of the ground, of a stationary ground. Boy, Rava Barav Chanan. Chitin shezorin bekarka, if you had kernels of wheat that were planted in the ground. Oimer matiran, oyein oimer matiran. Does oimer permit them? If now the omer comes and you harvest them, can you eat them? Or does omer not, is omer not matur them? So ask the Gemara, heichidami, what exactly is your question? Id ashrish tanina. If we are speaking about that the kernels took root, then we have learnt that. We've already learned that in the future Mishnah. If the kernels took root before the Omer was offered, we've learned it. Id lo yashrish, and if the kernels have not yet taken root, we've also learned that. And here at this point, the Gemara thinks that the question of Rav Bar Rav Chanan pertains to the wheat that grew from those kernels. So that's what the Gemara says. Memanav shach, if the kernels took root, then we know you can use the wheat. The omer was maturit. If the kernels did not take root, then we know that you cannot eat the wheat. What's your question? Disnan, we learned it further. Imishrishu kaidim la omer, omer matiran. If it was rooted before the omer is matir. Vim lav, and if the kernels were not rooted before the omer, asurin. Achiyave omer abo, until the next omer. So what's your question? Leitzricha, the question must be as follows. It's a question not concerning the wheat that grew from the kernels, but rather it's a question about the kernels themselves. Leitzricha, the chatzinu, he harvested the kernels, vizarinu, and he replanted them, kaidim l'oimer, before the oimer, v'osa oimer v'cholof alayu, and now the omer came and passed over them, in other words, they went through an omer, and now here comes the question. In other words, had he not replanted them, if he had just harvested them, so then when the Omer came, these were harvested items. They were not mutter from the first Omer because they were not nishrash in the first Omer. But by the time of the second Omer, when he harvested them, so if he would have put them in a vessel, and now the Omer comes, now the Omer permits those harvested kernels. But what did he do before the Omer came? He replanted them. And then this Omer came, the Cholof Alayv, come and boil in. The question is, Maulin Kute Umichel Minayu, is he allowed to take from those kernels and eat them? Do I say, Kemande Shadri Bekada Damya, even though he replanted them in the ground? It's as if we consider it as if it's in a container. V'sharinu oimer. And now that the oimer came on something that you harvested, and the oimer came, the oimer permits them. Oidilma or not. Oidilma batalu l'gabi ara. Maybe they're not like in a container, because after all, they're in the ground. So it's like they were replanted, and the clock starts ticking again. Had he not replanted them, then since they became a nishrash after the omer, so now the following omer, the second omer, when they became nishrash, the omer would be mat to them if he would have harvested them and put them into a container. But he didn't put them in a container. He put them back into the ground. And even though he takes them out now to eat them, we don't say that they revert back to the stage that they were in as a harvested and they're like still in a container. The fact is he put them in the ground. So it could be, you could look at it as a container and then the second omer would permit them. Or you could say, no, they're batel to the karka. They don't have a din of metaltalin. They have a din now of batel karka. And now the clock starts ticking again because now they become back into something that was planted. And now they did not take root before the next omer, so they would have to wait till the third omer. That's the question. And now comes a related question concerning oinoa. We know that if two people make up, the lekeach makes up with the meicher to buy something from the meicher, and it comes out that it is not the market price. Either lekeach bought it too cheap, or the meicher sold it for too high a price. They may have done it on purpose. They may have done it by accident. They didn't know what the market price was. This was their judgment, what they thought it was worth. And it turns out that it's not the market price, either too high or too low. So there's a din of oinoa. If it was less than a sixth the oinoa, then the din is the mekach is kayam, and the money is kept. If it was exactly a sixth, the halacha is, we find the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that the mekach is kayam, the mekach stands. However, he has to return him the sixth, which was oinoa, which either deliberate or accidentally he cheated him. He has either the lekeach returns to the meicher if it was too cheap, or the meicher has to return to the lekeach if it was too expensive. What happens if the oinoa was more than a sixth? Then the halacha is that the mekach is batel, it's null and void, and the money has to be returned. Now we have a question, what about seeds which are in the ground and have not taken root? Yesh lan oinoa, is there a din of oinoa? Ein lan oinoa. We have another rule by oinoa that ein oinoa bekarka. Oinoa is only by metaltla, not by something that's not movable, it's not a ground. There's no din of oinoa. So now the Gemara wants to know what's exactly the case here. Hechidam, ilei meda amrle shadoi bashita. If the moicher told the lekeach when he sold them the ground, he said that I planted in this ground which you're going to harvest. I planted six core of kernels. And also Sadi and the witnesses came to Amri and they said, that he only put in five. So it's exactly a sixth, which he cheated him on. And now the question is, does this have a din of metaltlin or does it have a din of karka? If it has a din of karka, there would be no din of oinah. That's not a question, says the Gemara. Vama Rava. Rava says, kol dover shebemidu shebemishkel shebeminyan afilip pachas mikdei oinah chayzer. That anything that has to do with a precise measurement, or mishkal a weight, or minyan a number. If he promised to give him a dozen eggs, and he only gave him 11 eggs, so that's not a mistake in judgment, that's a mistake in an exact amount. The halacha is, afilu pachas mikdei oinoa, even if the amount that he cheated him was less than a sixth. Chayzer, the halacha is that it's chayzer. Rashi and Tosis both learn. Let's see the Tosis, the second line on the top Tosis. Loishi yachzer oinoa karmer. It doesn't just mean that he has to give back that which he cheated. Ela afila bitul mekachavi. The whole mekach is batul, and this halach is even if it's less than a sixth. We learned before, if it's less than a sixth, normally, when it's not something to do with midah, mishkal, minyan, and a precise number, but rather it's a judgment call. So there we said that if it's less than a sixth, the mekach is kami, doesn't have to return any money. And the logic for that is because a person is normally meichel. You made a mistake in judgment, I'm meichel. However, if it's a precise measurement, a midah, a weight, a number, and on that you didn't give me what you promised to give me, so that I'm not meichel. And if I'm not meichel, I'm not even meichel when it's less than a sixth. Up to the point that not only do you have to return the money, the whole mekach is bottled. That's the sheet of Tysus, and we look in Rashi, Divrei Maskil, called Avi Shabamita, says the same thing. Kiven the kapit, because if we made up to give a certain amount and you didn't come through with that amount, I'm makbit. I want that rectified. Loi machal, I don't forgive that. But filim pachs mishtus, even if it's less than a sixth. Veloi shaycha ba din oino shehe mekach kayim v'yachsor oino. We don't say let the mekach stand, but it'll just give back the difference. Ela kol ha mekach batal v'chayzer. The whole mekach is batal, and he has to give back the money. Even if it's less than a sixth. And in other words, here we treat less than a sixth as we would by a case of Oinoa where it's more than a sixth. What's the difference? There's a difference between Oinoa and Mekach Tos. This has a halach of Mekach Tos. If you didn't give me the exact amount in weight, in measurement, in minyan, then that is something we didn't agree to. We made up, you're going to give me six, and you only gave me five. So that, I'm makbid. Even if you gave me five and a half, but you didn't give me six, I'm not meichel. And therefore, the whole mekach is batal, and you have to give me back the money. However, the Rambam and the Rashba disagree with Rashi and Tosfos, and their opinion is that the only halacha of less than a sixth by a mekach tos, which changes, is that I have to give back the money. By Oinoa, the mekach is kaim, I don't have to give back any money. By mekach tos, I at least have to make up what I didn't come through with, but the rest of the mekach remains. This is a machlokes rishonim here. But the swara is, did I make a mistake in judgment? If I made a mistake in judgment, how much it's worth, then less than a sixth, the mekach is kaim, I don't have to give any money back. If I made a mistake in what I promised you, that I didn't come through with it because it's less than the measure, than the weight, than the amount, there the din is, according to the Tosfos and Rashi, it's bottled totally. There's no mekach, according to the Rambam and the Rashba. There is a mekach, but I have to give back the money. So if it is speaking about such a case where he said, I put in six, and the witnesses say he put in five, that's a mistake in the amount. And there the din is that you have to give back the money. And according to many Rishonim, the whole mekach is bottled. I'm going to put in what it needs. He didn't give a precise amount. He didn't say six. And witnesses came for Amri, and they said, he didn't put in what it needed. It needed six, and he only put in five. But they didn't stipulate this. So this is like a mistake in judgment. He thought it's enough five, and really it needed six. So now we have our question, Yeshla, and I know, do we say that this is a case of another commander Shadji Bikaradami? Because these kernels that he's selling him in the ground to harvest, that's as if they're put in they haven't taken root yet, they're like put into a container. And if they're put into a container, they're metatlon. If they're metatlon, Yeshla, and I know, there is a din of Oinoa. Oy Dilma, do we say Batu Lagabi Ara? No, that since they're in the ground, they have a din of the ground, and by the ground we have a din that ain't Oinoa Bakarka. This is the question. The third question of Rava Bar Rav Chanan is concerning Shvua. Because by Shvua there's a din you swear only on Metatlin, you don't swear on Karka. Ain't Nishbon al Karkois. So here's a similar question. Nishbon alein or ain't Nishbon alein? Kiddush Shadya Bekadya Dam. Do I say like they're put into a container And if there's a dispute which requires a shvua, kimetaltli dami v'nishbona lehem, they're like metaltli and you make a shvua, or dilma batal huagavar, or maybe they're batal to the ground, ukimekar koi dami, and they're like karka, ve'ein nishbona lehem, you don't swear on them because we have a rule, ein nishbona lehem karkois. So on these three questions of Rav Baruch Hanan, which all revolve around the same point, that kernels which are put into the ground, planted, and they did not take root, do they have a din as if they're metaltlin lying in a container, or do they have a din of karka? On all these three questions, the end is teku tishbi yitaretz kushbi. You boys will have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi to answer these questions. And now we return to the third question in our sugya of Rami Bar Chama. Boy, Rami Bar Chama, chitin shebegalalei boker. If you have chitin that went through the digestive tract of a cow, of cattle, and they came out in the dung of the cattle, or soyrin, or barley, shabagloli, behema, that are in the dung of animals. And Rashi explains why do we use chitin by bokor and soyrin by gloli behema, because bokor eats chitin, cattle eat chitin, whereas barley is the food of donkeys and camels. So by gloli behema, we use soyrin, barley. But now you see these pieces that apparently didn't get digested properly. They came out whole. So, Mao, what is the din? Ask the Gemara, Lamai, what is your question concerning? Ilema litamuye tumas oichlin, if you want to consider them oichlin so that they should be able to become tamei through tumas oichlin tanina. We learned that in a brisa. Chitin shibarei bakar, if you have chitin in the dung of cattle, or soirin, or barley shibagloli behemoth, that's in the droppings, the dung of animals. So then the din is, chishva lehem lechila, if he said, I'm gonna eat them. So by machshava is not enough to give it a din oichel, ein metame tumas oichlin. It does not become, even if it became tame, it would not have a din of tumas oichlin. However, lakdan, if he did a maisa achila, he gathered them lechila to eat them, then metame tumas oichlin, then in fact that action causes them to become tame, and they, if something, if tame touched them, they would get Tumas Eichlin. So again, what is your question? We've learned this in a brisa already. What the answer is depends if it's maisa or whether it's machshav. El lemenachas. Could I use them to bring a korban of menachas? Pshita deloy. That's also not a question. For sure you can, because this is something disgusting. And the pasuk says, the navi says, hakriveu no lepchasecha hayitzcha yisupanecha. If you bring it as a korban, if you please, to your governor, will he be pleased with you? Will he find, would he find favor with you? Of course not. You wouldn't bring it to your prince, your king, your governor, so certainly you shouldn't bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it would be not able to be brought as a mincha. So what is the question here of Rami Bar Chama? Leitzricha must be speaking about dinaktinu, that he collected the kernels, vizarinu, and then he planted the kernels, the kaboy lasu menachas minayu, and now he doesn't want to bring from the original kernels, but rather he wants to bring menachas from the wheat that grew from those kernels. So the question is, you've been telling me that these kernels that were found in the Galali Behema are disgusting. They don't have a din of food of an oichel. So what is the rationale for that? Is it, my, what's the din? Is it mishum de misusa, who it's disgusting? The kivin de zarinu, and since he planted them, azdil misusayu, so then the disgust goes away. It's only disgusting the original kernels, but now that you've planted them and from them came out wheat, that wheat already is not disgusting. And therefore, you would be able to bring it as a mincha. Oy dilmor, maybe the reason it's not considered food is not because it's disgusting, but mishum kichishusahu, it's degraded. The power, the quality of this barley would, or wheat, would not be superb. Vahashtanamikhusha, once it's gone through the digestive tract of an animal and come out, it comes out. So when you, not only is it itself weaker and not as preferred and as a better quality grain, but even after it's planted, it's not going to produce good wheat or good barley. And therefore, it would still remain not allowed to be brought from anachas. So what's the reason you can't bring it from anachas? Is it disgust? That would be taken away by replanting it. Or is it because it becomes weaker, inferior in quality, and that wouldn't go away even if you replanted it? And on this third question of Rabbi Chama, the answer is teiku, that we don't have an answer. We'll have to wait for Eliyahu. And now we come to the final fourth question of Rami Bar Chama. Boy, Rami Bar Chama, a very fascinating question. Pill an elephant, shebola kfifis mitzvahs, who swallowed a basket, mitzvahs, normally we would say an Egyptian basket. Rashi tells us that's not what it means. It means a basket made from palm fibers. Mitzvahs refers to the fibers of a palm tree. So the elephant swallowed this basket, vikia, and then it expelled it, derech beisarei, through the rectum. Mao, what is the din? So the Gemara wants to know, lamai. The basket comes out, it's a whole basket. It didn't get chopped up and digested. It came out whole. What's the din? Lamai. What is your question concerning? Elam, vatal tumasa. Let's say it was tamei, and it went through the elephant and came out. So you're thinking maybe this process would have been mevatal the tum of the keli. Tanina, we've learned in the Brice, the kala kalim yordin l'day tumas machshava. All kalim can become tame through machshava. As Rashi explains, let's say you had leather that was set aside for shoes. So normally, it would only become tame as a keli, as a shoe, once it's formed into a shoe. While it's flat and it's not yet a shoe, it wouldn't be a keli and it wouldn't be mekabel tuma. But let's say the person thought, you know what, that flat piece of leather I'm going to use as a chair, as a table, as a mat. So then my machshava can turn it into a keli, even though it wasn't worked on to make it into a pair of shoes. Because for what I want to use it for, it's adequate the way it is, a flat piece of leather. So yordin l'day tumasin, then they can already be mekabel tuma through my machshava. Vein oilim et tumasan, but once they become tumay, I can't remove the tumah, elibishini maisa. I have to, let's say, by a kli cheris, if I break it, that will remove the tumah. I have to do an action in order to remove the tumah. Just thinking, it will not remove the tumah. So, what the Gemara is saying is that here, through the process of it coming through the digestive tract of the elephant, and then being expelled, that's not called a shinri maisa. It went in a whole keli, it came out a whole keli. There was no change, no action was done to the keli itself. So if it was tamei, it wouldn't lose that tumah. Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, it must be speaking about the bola hutzen, the elephant swallowed palm fibers, vavdinu, and then when it came out, a human took those palm fibers and he made them into a kfifa mitzvahs, into a basket of those palm fibers. So now here comes our question. When these fibers went through the digestive tract of the elephant, mi havi echel, do we say that this is considered as if it is digested? And then, if so, when it comes out from the elephant, havaleh, as we turn to the Samach Tes Amud Beis, kechli glolim, it's like a keli made from the dung of an animal, which using the dung and loose earth together, you can form a keli. So these fibers that went through the digestive tract, that's called that it's turned into dung, even though it looks like the regular palm fiber that went in, that's what came out. But if we say it's considered digested, then it would have a din of kli glolim, or kli adama. It's also like kli adama, earthenware. The difference between kli adama and kli cheres is that kli cheres is fired up in a kiln, whereas kli adama is heated in the sun. The din is that these kalim a mekabel tuma, they're not mekabel tuma, damar mar, we have learned, kli avadam, kli glom, kli adama, a mekabel tuma. All these kalim of stone or dung or earth are not mekabel tuma, lemme de retarva, lemme de recipher, they're not mekabel tuma midrashi, even not midrabbanan. So if we say that it's considered digested, then these would have a din of kli glolim, they would not be mekabel tuma. Or do we say they're not digested? And if they're not digested, then they're like a piece of wood. Fashioned it into a keli, and then it would be able to be mekabel tuma. So the Mephorshim here wonder, why did the Gemara have to change and say it was fibers? This same question would be negeah to a basket. if the basket was tamei, and now if I say it's digested and it became dung, so it turned into kli glolim, and kli glolim is not mekabel tumah. If it's not digested, then it's a regular basket, and the tumah would not leave. So Rabbi Kiva Eger sheet on Amud Aleph in the Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Kiva Eger says at the bottom of the second Gilyan Hashas, he says, Havi kemoi bolak fifa deloy batul tumah kiven dehoya tchilas keli. Since it was a keli, even if we'll say it's considered digested, that's not going to turn it into a dung keli. Because on that, we learned on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Kiva Eger's shita is, Ein oilu mitumas and elu b'shuni maisa. If I have a tamei keli, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that we remain with what we said on Amud Aleph, that it can only lose its status of tumah if an action happened to the keli. And just going through the digestive tract is not considered an action. It remains a keli tamei. So that's why the Gemara's whole shiloh over here had to be, when I didn't have a keli yet, I had fibers. Now it comes out, if I consider it digested, like dung, now I'm making, if I fashion a keli, I'm making a keli from dung. These fibers have halacha of dung. And therefore, it's kli glolim, and therefore it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. So learns Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, the Chazon Ish disagrees, and the Chazon Ish says, that ain't a chanami. Now that the Gemara has the shaila of, is this considered ichel or not ichel, this will affect, is it considered dung or not dung? And therefore, according to the Chazon Ish, even a keli that went through a pill, an elephant, and came out, if we consider it as having been digested, then that which comes out on one side of the Gemara, that Havi Yechol, it would be considered a Kli Glolim, and therefore it would lose its status of Tumah. That's how the Chazon Ish says. Why did the Gemara change the case according to the Chazon Ish? Because the Gemara wanted to highlight that even if you didn't have a Keli before it went into the pill, and now it came out of the pill, and now we fashioned it into a keli. So there's no question here that it lose its status of a keli. He only made it a keli after it came out. But if it's considered, we want to highlight what the shaila is. The shaila is not that it loses its status as keli. We want to know if it's considered a keli made from dung because there was ichel. So that's why the Gemara changed into the case of fibers. But who had been, according to the Chazon Ish, if we say that this is considered digested, then ain't a chanami. According to the Chazon Ish, a keli that was tameh could lose its status of tumah by being digested. Maybe digestion, according to the Chazon Ish, that's considered a shini maisa. It turns from a keli, it turns into, even though it looks like a keli, but it has a luck of being turned into dung, a dung keli, and therefore it's no longer tameh. So this is a machlokes hachronim. Whether the shiloh is only by fibers or the shiloh would also be by a keli itself. Says the Gemara, Tifshidlei, I could be poshut this fourth question of Rami Bar Chama, Mihadamar, Ola Mishimon ben Yotzadik. My sitter was a story. Ubolu, the gears of the Bachish, Shnei, Zeivim, two wolves swallowed up the carcasses of two babies. Shnei tinoikas in Be'evra Yarden, and now they expelled the flesh. And the question is, do we say that this flesh is tameh? Ubo ma'is lufnei chachamim v'tia ru'es ha'basar. And the chachamim said that this has halacha of the dung of the animal, even though it went in as a carcass of a baby and it came out that way without any change, but it has halacha that it was digested, and therefore the tumas nevela of the tumah of the dead the child goes away because now it's considered dung of the animal. So l'chayr we could bring a ride. The same thing would be here by the shiloh of the palm fibers. It was considered kli glolim, and it wouldn't be tameh. Shiny bus or derachich. There's no proof, says the Gemara, because flesh is very soft, and since it's very soft, we could say it became converted into dung. But palm fibers, which are harder than flesh, maybe that is not considered digested, and maybe it would be able to be mekabel tumah. says the Gemara of Alif Shem Seifa. Let's be partial from the Seifa. Because it says over there in the Seifa, Vitimu es Atzomis, that the same Chachamim who were matur the buster, they said that the Atzomis, the bones of the children that came out from the wolves, those remain Tamei, so Lachar, the same thing will be by the palm fibers. Says the Gemara, no, shiny Atzomis, no Raya, because Atzomis, they're Kushitve. Atzomis are harder than palm fibers. Palm fibers are harder than flesh, but they're softer than bones. So palm fibers are someplace in the middle. So therefore, we don't know, do the palm fibers lose the, do they have a din of dung and kli glolim and they would not be mekabel tuma, or do they remain wooden kalim and they would be mekabel tuma? This, the Gemara remains with a question. No proof from the case of the two children and the wolves. Boy, Rav Zeira had any question. Chit and shiur do we have him? Also a very strange question. We had the pill swallowing the basket and coming out whole. Now we have a very strange question also. Chitin, wheat. These are wheat kernels. Chitin sheyordu ba'ovim, that came down from the clouds. How did they come down from the clouds? So Rashi says that there was like a storm at sea, and there was like a tsunami, there was a whirlwind, a tornado on the ocean, and it sucked up a boat full of wheat, and now it brought it up to the clouds, and then the clouds rained down these wheat kernels. Chit nishiyardu ba'avimah, what's it did? Lamai, what's your shalom pertaining to? Ilum anachas, if it concerns ilum anachas, amai loy. Why not? Why shouldn't it be good? El shtei alechem, it's a shalom concerning shtei alechem. What's the question by shtei alechem? Amai. Because by shtei alechem, it says it has to be moishvei sechem, from your dwelling places. So do I say moishvei sechem on rachamon alafuki de chutzlarts? The loy, it has to be from Eretz Yisrael, not from chutzlarts. Avol the oven, but if it comes from the cloud, chopper dummy, then it's good. It's only a miyut of chutzlort. Or you do more, do we say, Meshach Sechem Dafke? It has to be Dafke from your dwelling places. Vafilu the oven, nami loy. And even if it comes from the clouds, it also would not be good because you're not fulfilling Meshach Sechem. So Toysis and Divri Amaschal Chitin says, Kasher Rabbein Atam, the Manavshach. If this tornado, according to Rashi, picked up the wheat in Chutz Loritz and put it into the clouds. So why, just because it went in, if you need Moshe Seif from Eretz Yisrael, so why if it goes into the clouds and rains down, is it good? It's not, the clouds don't make it into Eretz Yisrael. You're missing Eretz Yisrael. Elamai, you're going to tell me that these clouds came from Eretz Yisrael. So then what should be wrong that it's coming from the clouds if the clouds itself are coming from Eretz Yisrael? So there are those who answer Rashi that no, if we say Moshe Seichem, it means it's not good enough that it originated from Eretz Yisrael. But now where is it ultimately coming from? Clouds. Clouds is not your dwelling place. Dwelling place means down here on earth. That's how they answer Rashi. But because of this question, Rabbeinu Tam learns a whole new pshat. Nira li da'yidei nes yardu ba'avim. Ein echanami, these came down with a nes. And that's the question. Do we say Moshe Seichem requires Eretz Yisrael and not Chutzlords, but through a nes would be good? Or do we say Moshe Seichem means Eretz Yisrael, but Derech HaTeva, if it's coming from and through a nes, that's still not Moshe Seichem Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it would not be good. Ask the Gemara, mi kakai gavim, do you have such a case where in fact, like Toysus, Alpines, or through a tornado that it rains down wheat kernels, where did you ever hear of such a story? Says the Gemara, in, yes. And now the Shita and Oispez and the Masar Shashas and Oisdalid say that the correct Girsa here should be Bar Adi Tayo. The Arab whose name was Bar Adi, what happened to him once? Nechisale, it fell down from the heaven, fell down an amount of wheat kernels, Rum Kizba Chitin, Bitlasa Parsi. It was a spread over an amount of land of 3 parsois, and the thickness of it was a kizba. What's a kizba? Says Rashi, the way we have from the Girsa from the Besaris Hashas, kizba tefach bizkifas goydel. It's a tefach high with a thumb stuck up. So from the Pashtus of Rashi would seem, it's a tefach plus a thumb stuck up. There are those who learn, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom and other Rishonim, it just says that kizba is another name for tefach. The lashon of the Rabbeinu Gershom is tefach gavoya ala oretz ba'oyrach shloish parsois. The length was three parsois. The height was a tefach. He doesn't mention anything about a thumb. However, there are those who learn in Rashi that these are two different things. Either it was the height of a tefach, says Rashi, or it was, as Akifas Goydel, a thumb high. Boy, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi had the following question. She boilis an ear of grain. She viashlish, that it grew to a third of its normal size, quite a long before the Yomer. Viokra. And he ripped it out of the ground. Vishasla, and then he replanted it. La'acher ha'imer, after the ha'imer, vaisifa, and now it grew in addition. So even though we quoted the Mishnah before in Daf Ayin, that the ha'imer is matter whenever hashrasha took place, whenever it was rooted in the ground, that's only while the plant is still growing. However, once you've ripped it out of the ground, the oimer is only matter if it had grown to a size of a third. If it had not developed into a third of its normal size, the oimer would not be matter. So here it's speaking about he ripped it out of the ground. You need a shlish, and that's what you had. You had a shlish, so the oimer was matter. But then what did he do? He replanted it. Now that he replanted it, so new additional grain grew on what he had replanted, vaisifa. So Now, what's the din? What's the question? Basar ikar azlin v'shar yoimer. Do I say I look at the main part of this plant, and the main part of it had already been mutter through the oimer, because it had already grown to a third before the oimer, so the oimer was moderate. Or do I look at what grew after the oimer? And then, v'achi yavi oimer abo, then I'll have to wait. If I look at the extra that grew, which never had an omer to be matur, the extra, so then you'll have to wait till the next omer. That's the question. Ask the Gemara, tifshid lay mahadam Rabbi Avu and Rabbi Yochanan. Why don't you, we get an answer to this question from what Rabbi Avu has said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And this question that he discusses concerns orla, that the tree, the first 3 years in Eretz Yisrael, if a tree grows, so you don't eat the fruit. And the fourth year is net to revive. You're allowed to eat the fruit. So what happens if you had a young tree, was not yet 3 years old, and it had fruit on it? Yalda, shesivcha, that he grafted it, bezakena, in an older one that was past the orla iser. It was already after 3 years. So you grafted them together. Uba peris, and the younger one had fruits. So, and what happened after you grafted them together? The fruits grew much bigger. They might have even grown up to 200 times the size of what they were initially. So normally, as Rashi says, if we have orla that falls into non-orla, it's batel 1 in 200. That's only if there's a teruvus, a mixture. But here it's not a mixture, it's a grafting. So it all becomes one. So the halacha is that I look at the ikker. The ikker was orla. So even though there was a tosefus, an addition of non-orla, 200 times greater, doesn't matter. We don't say it's bottled by 200 to 1 ratio. We say look at the ikker. It's a different halacha concerning klai kerem. You cannot grow together vegetable with a vine. What happens if you had a botzel and onion? Sheshasla b'kerem, he planted it in a vineyard. And then, v'nekra kerem, he removed the kerem. But what's now this butzel? This butzel is klaya kerem. Safilo hoisif, even if the butzel grew b'masayim 200 times greater than it was when it was klaya kerem, when it was together with the kerem, even though now it's not with the kerem, the halacha is usher. Why? Because we go after the ikker. The ikker was klaya kerem. We don't look at the tosefus, and it's not a teruvus, it's an addition that's growing on the goof of the plant itself. Even though it's 200 times greater, it'll remain us. So we see clearly, you go busted acre. So the same should be in our shiloh. Here you have a question. Do I say you go baser to Iker and its Oimer was matter to Iker? Or do I go baser to Tosafos and there was no Oimer that was matter to Tosafos? So from these two proofs, we should say you go after the Iker. Says the Gemara, no, he gufa kama boile. That itself, what you're bringing me two proofs, I have a question in those two proofs. Why? My question is, was this definite that you go with the Iker? Whether it's a chumrah or a kula, because the two cases you brought me will be a chumrah. The first chumrah is by Orla, the Iker was Orla. The second chumrah would be by Klaya Karim, the Iker was Klaya Karim. So there, you go a chumrah after the Iker. But, so if you know for sure you go after the Iker, then you'll say even in our case, where it's a kula to go after the Iker. Because the Iker over here has become mutter through the Omer. The additional was not mutter through the Omer. So if you are definite that you always go with the Iker, then of course over here will be mutter because the Iker is mutter through Omer. Or do I say that it's a suffix? He really didn't know if you go after the Iker or not. So in the two cases of Onion and the case of the Orla tree that was Yalda was less than 3 years old, so there the Iker is Usser, so I go after the Iker. In the case of Omer, where the Iker is Mutter, since I don't know, I'll be Machmer. Maybe, if I know Vare, then I could be Mekel. But if I have a Suffolk, then I'll always have to be Machmer Misuffolk. That's my question. He gufa kama bayali. Mifsha pshitu le rabbanan. The Buster Iker has lenin. Do I say that the rabbanan were definite that you go after the Iker? Loishna le kula, loishna le chumra. It doesn't matter if it's a kula or a chumra. If it's a chumra like the case of the Klaya Karim, or a chumra like the case of Orla, or a kula like the case of Omer, or Dilmas Tvukim Asafkalu, he had a suffeg, and therefore, l'chumra amrinin, therefore by the Klaya Karim and by the Orla, we go l'chumra after the Iker and its usher, but by Omer, where if you go after the Iker, it would be a kula, and I have a suffeg, I don't know, l'kula loy amrinin, maybe you'll always have to be machmer whenever you have a suffeg, and I won't go l'kula because I'm not sure 100% you go after the Iker, or maybe I am sure 100%, and then you'd even go after the Iker Lekula. On this question of Rab Shimon ben Pazi, the Gemara's conclusion is as well, the din is, Teiku Tishbi Yitaretz, Kushyos V'Iboyos.
Would you like him to?